I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The message today from the state-controlled news media in North Korea, let's end the war. Tomorrow is the 65th anniversary of the close of the Korean War. Remember that the fighting stopped with an armistice, not a fully realized peace treaty. That means the U.S. and North Korea are technically still at war. The Trump administration says it's committed to peace on the Korean Peninsula, so long as the North gives up its nuclear weapons. To get a reality check on where things stand now, we turn to Andrei Lenkov. He's a professor at Gunmin University in South Korea. But his Russian background gives him some special insight into how the North Korean system works.
Soviet Union and North Korea parted ways decades ago, but there are some similarities in the ideology, in the political structure, so it helps.
6 weeks ago, President Trump met face-to-face with Kim Jong-un in Singapore. For some, it was a hopeful moment. So I asked Professor Lenkov what he thought.
I had no hope during the Singapore summit, and I don't have much hope now. First of all, neither North Korea nor United States are going to start a war. There used to be a reasonably high risk of a unilateral U.S. military operation last year, but not much more. However, North Korea has no intention to surrender its nuclear weapons. Officially, the major goal of negotiations between the United States and North Korea is to achieve the denuclearization of North Korea. But there is one problem. North Korean government, North Korean elite, not only Kim Jong-un, but many, many thousands of people around him, everybody who matters in North Korea, believes that if their country surrenders nuclear weapons, it will go away of Iraq and Libya. And they don't want it, they see it as a suicide, and they have not the slightest intention to do it.
Even with President Trump shaking hands with Kim Jong-un, I mean, that never really happened with Iraq and with Libya. I mean,
So what is magical about shaking hands with the United States president? Does he have some kind of supernatural power in his hands? Well, maybe. Well, in the past, in medieval eras, people believed something like that about kings.
Well, I mean, it's not a supernatural power, but I mean, it is symbolic. Don't you agree?
Well, symbolism is great, but it's cheap and meaningless. North Korea is run by hard-nosed realists, people who don't care about symbols. They care about money, power, and guns.
What about the story that's come out in recent days about the North Koreans beginning to dismantle a key missile facility? How big of a step is that?
It's not a key missile facility. It's one of many missile facilities. What's happened? Last year, it looked like that U.S. administration, Trump administration, was ready to strike North Korea if they don't make any concessions. At the same time, American diplomats succeeded in creating a united front with China. So China joined an unprecedented, tough sanctions regime. Essentially, North Korea was banned from conducting any foreign trade starting from early this year. So, economic crisis and probability of American military attack. Is it nice? Definitely not. North Koreans decided to start making concessions, as little as possible, as few as possible, but they decided to give up something. There were some unilateral concessions. All are reversible, and it's going to continue. Meanwhile, Trump administration started a trade war with China. United front on the North Korean issues between U.S. and China collapsed. China is not that serious about sanctions anymore. North Korea is quietly trading with China. They get a bit of money, and it's highly unlikely that U.S. military threat should be taken seriously in the near future, but they have to play safe. So what we are going to see, typical North Korean tactics, they will work hard to win time. There will be some concessions, like this test site. It's not expensive. It can easily be rebuilt, but they will make a wonderful show of it.
Andrei Lenkov, you're in Washington right now. What kind of information or what kind of sense are you getting there in the U.S. Capitol from what's going on in North Korea?
Many opportunities were wasted the last few months, but some opportunities still exist, and many people in Washington believe that using these opportunities it will be possible to get some concessions, some meaningful reduction of the North Korean nuclear and missile threat. Non-denuclearization, almost nobody among the Korean specialists believe denuclearization is possible, but arms reduction, it's still probably achievable, and let's hope that something will happen. Just let's not have exaggerated hopes, exaggerated expectations.
You know, years ago, John Bolton, who is now the national security advisor to President Trump, described North Korea as a hellish nightmare. Is that still the case? Would you agree with him now or then?
There were periods in North Korean history when it was a fairly good description. But now I would not agree. It's a nightmare which is getting less and less hellish and less nightmarish. Economy is growing. Nobody is starving. A lot of people are malnourished, but nobody is starving. At least, you know, poor people can eat corn gruel every day. Well, richer people can have some protein. There are many power-assisted bikes and a lot of construction. Life is getting better. And even in terms of political repression, yes, country is extremely brutal. But you can pay a bribe. And in most cases, they probably just turn a blind eye to minor illegalities of political nature. And when it comes to daily life, well, as long as you are not engaged in violent crime, they don't care whether you follow outdated instructions from the Stalinist era, because essentially country's economy is driven by market economy, by capitalist economy.
Do you remember the hack of the Sony Entertainment
yes.
hack?
Yeah.
A lot of fingers were pointing to
yes.
North Korea after the movie The Interview as a kind of act of revenge. Was North Korea able to do that on their own? Did they need help from Russia?
Oh, I don't think they would ever get help from Russia and from China, as a matter of fact, too. Of course, they did it on their own, and they have very good hacking capabilities. Basically, my computer is attacked by them maybe once every 2 months or so. And it's not only me. All North Korea specialists have this problem. They keep trying to get into our computer using quite sophisticated methods. They are very active hackers, based usually outside the country, China, Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia, all places. Small groups of North Korean hackers are operating. They are doing quite well. They are highly professional.
Andrei Lankov is a professor of Korean studies at Gumin University in Seoul. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.